So what now?
And Jesus died, he arose. But what happens next? That's what the disciples have been trying to figure out this whole week. This whole week they've been gathering and being sad. But they're also happy in that he arose and he's come to them. But they don't know what to do next. They've been given all this knowledge and given this power, this great opportunity, but they don't know what to do with it. So they're having these big discussions, trying to figure out. But then one day, Jesus comes back, appears to them, and answers these questions. And that's where we get our scripture reading today, Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So Matthew records this as the final appearance of Jesus after his death on Easter. He says, Jesus appeared on a mountain to them, a mountain he invited them to. Now, it doesn't really specify which mountain it was. It could have been the mountain where Jesus had the transfiguration, where he met with Moses and Elijah and received assurance from above. Maybe it was the mountain that Jesus sat down on and had the Sermon on the Mount, back in Matthew chapter 5. We don't know which mountain it was. It could have been just a random mountain they went to meet at. What we do know is that he told them to go to a mountain. And it's not surprising that Jesus tells them to go to a mountain. Mountains, throughout the Gospels, are places of great importance. Great issues are brought up here on the mountains. You see the Sermon on the Mount. You see the Transfiguration. You see with the burning bush, the Ten Commandments. The mountain is this great place where great things happen. And even today, we speak of encounters with Jesus as being mountaintop experiences. Our own Christian journey is made up by these experiences, these mountaintop moments. And like I said, throughout the Bible, there's these very important points where Jesus, God, and Holy Spirit, they meet with humans, with mankind, on these mountains to talk about very important issues, very important subjects that they need to get across. So it's not very surprising that he says, "Meet me on this mountain. This is where I'm going to tell you all the answers." Now, when the disciples got there, they saw Jesus, and they worshipped him. Now, this wasn't the same kind of worship they gave when he was alive. When he's alive, they used words like Rabbi, Teacher, Master, Lord. He was their teacher. And they treated him like so. But when he came back, when they met him on this mountaintop, it was a whole different picture. They worshiped him as the risen Christ, the risen Messiah. He was now the Messiah, this Christ. They now see it with their own eyes. They see, wow, he is raised from the dead. He is what he said he was. It's all true. And he's here to help us. Now, at this point, this type of worship they use, they reserved that for Yahweh, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This was the highest form of worship that a man can give to somebody. This Jewish worship, this great benediction for him. And at this point, he said, "I have received all authority in heaven and on earth." And through this, they worshipped him. But while they worshipped, it says some of them doubted. And I think that's common in Christian worship, in Jewish worship today. There's always some doubt that is around us. There's always some doubt that may be in us at times. And that's the way worship is. That's the way it happens. And even as we sit here in church this morning, there may be some among us who have some of these doubts. No matter how strong our faith is, doubt will always arise. just like it did here for the disciples, who saw Jesus, the arisen Messiah, on the mountain in front of their faces. Some of them still doubt. Now today, some people doubt the power of Jesus, or just the power he has over our circumstances. We think we can do it ourselves. Jesus, he has nothing to do with this. Some of us doubt his healing power, or even his desire to heal us, his love for us. And some even doubt that he rose from the tomb on Easter Sunday. Jesus himself addressed this last one when he said that even the resurrection of the dead would not necessarily convince everyone to that need. But it is bad that there is doubt, and doubt's always there. But what's important about this is that they were there in the first place. They may have doubted, but they still came, and they still worshipped. And I'm sure when they left that mountaintop, they had a fresh view of Jesus that they didn't have beforehand. And I hope that their doubt was dispelled from meeting him at that point, from hearing this great commission. Now I want to get into the Great Commission just a little bit more, into the different parts of it. So we talked about the worship and the doubt, and how doubt is normal in Christian worship. It may not be something that's good, it may not be great, but it's normal. It's something we should fight against and try to overcome, but it's going to happen. Next, he says, he's given all authority in heaven and earth. His authority has been given to me. Now, let's understand that this supreme authority, this was given to Jesus from the very beginning. When we look at the Gospel of John, he says, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and all things were made through him. So Jesus has had this supreme authority, this great authority, from the very beginning of time. He was with God from the beginning, and it was through him that everything was made. And all creation came through him. Now, he chose to limit himself for a short while as a human on earth. And during that time of his limited existence here on earth, he was in the Father, and the Father was in him. He was in the Father, and the Father was in him as a man. The life he lived as a human was lived by his faith in God, his Father. That's very important. Because that's the life that we're trying to replicate. We see Jesus, we see all his healings, his miracles, his deeds. But the biggest thing that we should try to follow in Jesus' life is that faith in God. No matter what, no matter what happened, he had that deep faith. And God was in him, and he was in God. So that's the kind of life that we want to live as Christians. To live every moment in the Father. Now, once Jesus was raised from the dead and glorified, he was no longer limited by this human body, by time and by space, and by anything else that could limit him. So in this, he could manifest all his authority. He got it. I don't want to say he got it all back, but he could show it all. He had it all at his fingertips. But he chooses to show his authority by commissioning his followers to take the good news to the ends of the earth, promising them that he would always be with them. He says, I am with you to the very end of the ages. This was the same promise that was given by God to Joseph when the angel announced Jesus' birth. And he quotes Isaiah 7:14, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, confirming his identity as the one whom God has sent, he affirms to all those who were there, and all those who followed him, and all those who served him, that I will be with you, as it says from Isaiah, as it says from his birth, that he is Emmanuel, God is with us. That's a very important verse. God is with us, no matter what, no matter where, through all the doubt, through all the pain, through the happy times too. God is with us, and he works through us. Now, after this, he reveals his plan to them. He says, go into the world and make disciples. He answers this question that they've been having a hard time with. He says, just go and talk to people. Spread the good news.
our task, the task he gives them, it's not merely just to make converts. He's not saying, go convert people to Christianity. Go make them Baptists, make them Methodists, make them Catholics, Anglicans. Make them church members. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, make disciples. Disciples, it means pupil, a learner, an amateur, a student. So these disciples of Jesus were given the task of making more disciples by teaching them about Jesus. And it's crazy that Jesus' disciples, they were still students at this point. And they were always students. They never stopped learning. At that time, the rabbis, the Jewish leaders, they would take on disciples. Disciples wasn't an uncommon term. It wasn't just Jesus' disciples. Everybody had disciples. John the Baptist had disciples. You would grow up learning from these rabbis. You'd spend 10, 14 years under their service. And if you chose to be a rabbi or scribe or whatever after that, you did that. You were no longer a learner. You were a teacher. But Jesus, through him, we are always learners. We will remain learners forever. We are always the student. But we're the students that teach others about Jesus. Next he says, baptize them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe baptism is very important, and that the dunking or the sprinkling or the pouring over, that's a major part of baptism. But I don't think that's all that Jesus meant here. I don't think he meant just wet them. Don't just give them a name or a promise of God's protection in their lives. A promise of a church family. I think he means to immerse them and cover them, overwhelm them in God. Overwhelm them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this faith. One of the most powerful illustrations of the Greek word baptizo, which is baptism today. That's where we get the word from, baptizo. It means to immerse or submerge. So a powerful illustration of this is the picture of a sword maker. He heats up his steel for the blade in the furnace. He's really hot. So when it gets red hot, he plunges it in the water. And by doing this, by immersing the sword, the steel is tempered hard, strong for his task. That is what makes it hard and durable. Christian disciples are immersed in God so that they may be fit the task ahead. They need also to be immersed in the believing, worshiping, and serving community of God, of God's people. We must live in a kingdom community where we can always be taught by Christ, of Christ, by each other. So I think that's what he means by baptism here, by this baptize. Not just baptizing water, cleansing of the sins, new you, but also being brought into this community and being made fit for the job ahead. Fit for spreading the good news. Now this Great Commission is what this is called, the Great Commission. It is great because it promises us believers these many things. He promises that he's been given all authority. And what that means, nothing is above him. No matter the issues you face, the doubts you have, the pain, a happiness, nothing is above his authority. He promises with his authority that he's always going to be with us. So through all those times, we have a rock to lean upon, a rock to celebrate with. We have Jesus in our lives. He also gives us this mission to go make disciples of all the nations and to baptize them in his name. This answers this big looming question that the disciples were asking after his death and resurrection. What do we do next? What is our mission? We've been given this knowledge. We've given this power. What do we do with it? And I think that's a question we have today as well. What are we expected to do? What is our mission as a church, as a community, as a people of faith? What does Jesus expect of us to do with this? What do I do with all this knowledge and power that we receive even today? Here, in these few short verses, in this short meeting on this mountaintop, Jesus, he lays it all on the line. He says, this is what you do. To spread the good news to everyone, and baptized them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go pray with me. Lord, thank you for coming to earth to die for us, to raise from the dead for us, and through your almighty authority to be with us always. Lord, thank you for giving us this mission. For giving us the strength we need, the power of knowledge we need to spread your good news all over the earth to all the nations. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.